Chapter 29, 1992 Election, Politics at Home and in Washington, D.C. Clinton responded, among other ideas, with a full endorsement of chartered schools. I knew that the relationship between teacher unions and chartering would be changed forever. Summer to Fall, 1992. Chartering wasn't much on my mind the summer and fall of 1992. It was election year. All legislators were up for election in newly redrawn districts after redistricting. It was my fourth election campaign to the Minnesota Senate. Running as an incumbent is always easier, and I had been serving my constituents for 10 years. My district wasn't changing much in redistricting, as only a few precincts were added. While my campaign team and I always worked hard during campaigns, the DFL considered my district a relatively safe seat. The presidential campaign was well underway, too, and to my great delight, it appeared that Governor Bill Clinton would be the Democratic nominee. I was heavy into politics at all levels. As always, I sought endorsement from our labor allies early in the process so we could display their endorsement in our campaign materials. In my past 3 elections, all the labor unions had endorsed me. I think it was June or July that I sought endorsement from the Robbinsdale Federation of Teachers, RFT, which screens for the Minnesota Federation of Teachers, MFT. I also sought endorsement from the Minnesota Education Association, MEA. While these organizations and I disagreed on chartering, I had a 10-year record on the Education Funding Division and the Senate Education Committee as a strong advocate of education funding statewide and particularly for our suburban district. Beyond that record, I was majority whip of our DFL caucus and chair of a division on the Tax Committee, also important to education funding. So I honestly didn't expect a problem with endorsement. I was wrong. The generic screening questionnaire by the RFT asked for my position on chartering. The union's materials made clear that it supported repeal of chartering in the 1993 session. I talked with the union members at great length and indicated I not only would oppose repeal, but would try to strengthen the law in 1993 to add the Minnesota State Board of Education as a separate sponsor. On the remainder of their issues, our positions aligned. To my surprise, I received a call several days later with the news that the RFT would not endorse in my race. That meant the MFT would also hold back. And soon, the MEA would do the same. Ironically, DFL Representative Becky Kelso, the House chartering bill author, received teacher union endorsement without any problem. I suspected it was because she ran in a tough Republican district and the unions knew she needed endorsement to win, regardless of her position on chartering. Not that the unions wanted my Republican opponent to win. He supported vouchers, so they certainly didn't want him elected. MFT President Sandra Peterson confirmed in her 2011 interview that chartering caused the denial of my endorsement. She said, "They thought she was going too far and not listening. For Ember, the unions were not always pleased with what she was doing. She kept pushing on the issue. She kept forging ahead." The problem grew more complicated when the Minnesota AFL-CIO accepted the recommendation of its affiliate, the MFT. Now, that was something I never expected. Plenty of people in my labor-oriented district looked for the AFL-CIO logo on the literature. 20 years later, the whole experience is hazy and I don't remember details. I do remember that after I discussed the issue with DFL legislative leaders, the AFL-CIO finally granted its endorsement near the end of September, after most of my literature and mail pieces were printed. The teacher unions never endorsed me. I knew the teacher unions were sending me a message. It was hurt. But denying my endorsement wasn't a strategic move, especially on the part of the RFT. I was reelected with a wide margin of 58.7% of the vote without their support. I now had a certain freedom to pursue my intended course for chartering in the 1993 session. Even as the union politics boiled up for my own reelection, I was also focused on representing Clinton's campaign throughout Minnesota. Back in October 1991, when Clinton announced his candidacy for president, I responded to calls from leaders of the Democratic Leadership Council, DLC, to sign on to his campaign. Along with Representative Becky Kelso and others, I became co-chair of the Clinton presidential campaign in Minnesota. Few in Minnesota knew anything about Clinton, and from a political perspective, Minnesota was not a Clinton state. Most of my colleagues were supporting Senator Tom Harkin of neighboring Iowa, who served in the same liberal tradition as former Vice President Walter Mondale. I enjoyed being a surrogate speaker for Clinton during the primary and general election campaigns because I liked his platform, including education reform. I talked often to DFL audiences and general voters about his support for Minnesota's open enrollment. As campaign co-chair, I also got several chances to meet with Clinton when he came to Minnesota for fundraisers and rallies during the spring and summer. I admired his leadership greatly. But it was his personal charisma and ability to communicate a message that impressed me most. In a one-on-one situation like a conversation at a fundraiser, he made you feel like your issue was the most important issue in the world. We did talk about chartering. He was definitely committed to it. I knew if he were elected, he would support U.S. Senator David Durenberger's initiative and include other chartering proposals in his own education policies. Still, I hadn't yet heard Clinton talk publicly about chartering at that point in the campaign. After what had just happened in my small political world, I totally understood why he was low-key about it. I was just thrilled to know he was supportive. A week or two after the Democratic National Convention, Clinton and vice presidential nominee Al Gore and his wife Tipper came through Minneapolis on their bus tour. A large stage was set up in a busy downtown Minneapolis intersection. Thousands of people attended the rally. Clinton energized the crowd in a way I had never seen before. It felt like the wind was at our back in this election. Maybe after all these years, a Democrat could be elected to the White House. I was riding high that day, sharing the stage and visiting with Clinton and the Gores. It just didn't seem possible that my public school choice work would eventually lead to something like this. What an unlikely set of circumstances. What a joyful moment in my political career. The rest of fall flew by. Between my campaign and Clinton's, my life was a blur. It was intense, crazy, and exhausting. But through all this, I still distinctly remember the one moment that would change the future of chartering forever. I was watching one of the televised debates between Clinton and George H.W. Bush. Someone asked a question about education reform. Clinton responded, among other ideas, with a full endorsement of chartered schools on national television. Think of it. Here he was, endorsed by all the teacher unions, yet still giving full support to chartering. I couldn't believe it. My eyes welled with tears. I knew now for sure that chartering was here to stay. And I knew that the relationship between teacher unions and chartering would change forever. In my heart, I also knew Clinton would be the next president. Together, we supporters could work to grow chartering from one school in Minnesota to hundreds or even thousands of schools around the country. The rocky road of change appeared to be paved with a fresh new layer of shiny seal coat.